תודה רבה. בעוד רגע אנחנו נעמוד ונקבל את פניו של המורה בעמידה. ב7:30 נצא להפסקה. שוב, אם אפשר, נעמוד ונאפשר קודם כל למורה לצאת לחדר שלו שבצד השני. מי שלא חייב לצאת מהדלת ההיא, נבקש שיצאו מהשירותים נמצאים שם, כך שמי שצריך כמובן שיכול להשתמש. בואו נעמוד עוד רגע, המורה ייכנס לפי הכניסה.
His Eminence Ratna Vajra Rinpoche, welcome. We are very, very glad you came here to teach us. Hello.
Kashidele. So, first of all, I'm very happy to be here in Israel for first time and happy to share the Buddha's teaching to all of you gathered here tonight. So before I start my actual talk, first I will do a short prayer. Sambo jebe malama tatange jala tamze je samdo singe donya lera te bae jala ke la do tata dolze da donya sangye mama sangye sege na shuma do tadala je ina malu ba tamze jala tage kawara tadanga ba mese gato na yangye Yalla So, generally speaking, every sentient being, from tiny insects to powerful ones, all have the same wish, which is to gain happiness. And every sentient being has the same wish to overcome the sufferings and the problems. So we all all have the common goal to achieve. But at the same time, most of us, we don't know what is the cause of real happiness and what is the cause of real sufferings. Because of this, although we wish to gain happiness, but we engage in the cause of sufferings. Although we wish to gain happiness, but we destroy the cause of our own happiness. Although we wish to gain happiness and remove suffering, but we are doing something that is against our own wish. So, therefore, first, it is important to know what is the right way and what is the wrong way. And for that purpose, the Lord Buddha has shown us what is the right path and what is the wrong path. So our welfare and Buddha's teaching has very strong connection. Our practice should be not for one's own sake, but for the sake of all the sentient beings. And the connection between our own welfare and Buddha's teaching is that Buddha has given these teachings not for himself, but for the sentient beings, for the others' welfare and well-being. Generally speaking, Lord Buddha has performed enormous amount of activities, noble activities, but the most important activity is to turn the wheel of Dharma or to guide the sentient beings from suffering and dissatisfaction to temporary and ultimate happiness. The purpose of the Buddha's teaching is to tame our mind. The purpose of Buddha's teaching is to overcome the sufferings of the sentient beings. The purpose of Buddha's teaching is to gain happiness, not only for few beings, but for the every sentient beings. How it works is that Buddha gave teaching, and if we follow, then we can fulfill our own wish. The way Buddha guides us is not just through miracles. Buddha said, Buddha will not wash away all our negative actions. And Buddha will not remove our own suffering by his own hands. And Buddha will not transfer his own wisdom or his own knowledge to others. So how he helps others is through showing the right path, through showing the actual path. And if you follow that path, you can be liberated from the suffering of samsara. And if you don't follow, then still we will remain in the samsara where we will experience infinite sufferings in the future. So, also Buddha said, I've shown you the path, whether you will gain liberation from the samsara or not depends on yourself. So it means Buddha will show what is the right path and what is the wrong path. And after that, whether we can can benefit from the Buddha's teaching or not depends on ourselves. If we study and contemplate and meditate and practice according to the Buddha's teaching, then we can gain liberation, we can get benefit from the precious and profound teachings of Lord Buddha. And also Buddha said, oneself is the savior of oneself. Oneself is the enemy of oneself. What it means is that the real refuge, the real protector for us should come from our own practice, our own well-being. So therefore it says the real savior is oneself. Although we can learn precious and profound teachings, but if we don't follow, if we don't practice accordingly, then we won't get the result. So whether we can gain result or not depends on our own practice. So therefore, oneself is the savior of oneself. And also it says oneself is the enemy of oneself, because it is said the worst enemy is not outside. The worst enemy is within ourselves. The worst enemy is within our own mind. The worst enemy is our own anger, our own negative thoughts. The worst enemy is not outside of our own mind. For example, if all the humans and others becomes our own enemy, and if all of them attack to oneself at the same time, although it will be a great effect on us, but it won't be as great as the sufferings of the lower realms. So the worst enemy or the most suffering is produced by our own anger to oneself and not by external enemy. So therefore we can say the worst enemy is not outside, it is within our own mind. So therefore, first it is important to study and contemplate and meditate and then practice on Buddha's teaching. And we also say, when we practice, we need to have five perceptions, which means we should see Buddha as a skillful doctor. We should see Buddha's teaching as medicine. We should see ourselves as a patient. We should see our own defilements like anger, attachments, ignorance, jealousy, pride, etc. as our sickness. And receiving teaching and following the teaching is like receiving the doctor's advice and following the doctor's advice, like what we should eat, what we should not eat, what should we behave, and what should not we do, etc. So these perceptions are very important. Even though you consult the best doctor and you have the best medicine and you have the best facilities, but if ourselves don't follow the doctor's advice, like not taking the medicine at right time, not behaving according to the doctor's advice, etc., then no matter how skillful the doctors are, it won't cure our own sickness. Medicine and doctor alone cannot cure our sickness. To cure our sickness, the patient himself or herself should put effort to overcome or to recover from the sickness, like taking the right medicine and the right dosage at the right time and following the right behaviors that is advised by the doctor, etc. So the main effort should come from our own. The main effort should not come from others. So similarly, when we practice the Buddha's teaching, it is important to follow the Buddha's advice. It is important not just to listen to the teaching, but to follow the Buddha's teaching. The teaching of the Buddha and our own mind has a strong connection. It has a cause and effect connection. The practice of the teaching is the cause. And the result of that is to tame our mind, to develop positive thoughts in our mind. So there is a strong connection, or there is a cause and effect relationship between the practice and the mind. So first, it is important to know that we should make this connection. And Buddha's teaching is to help others, is to make the samsara peace, or to overcome the samsara. So Buddha's teaching is actually meant to gain liberation and to gain enlightened state. But on that process, we can gain enormous benefit in this life. We can gain enormous benefit in our welfare, in our well-beings. So although as a Buddhist, we should not focus just on this present life, but by doing a proper practice, naturally or indirectly, it will help this present life. Because Buddha's teaching is to tame our mind. Buddha's teaching is to help sentient beings. So when you help sentient beings with positive mind, with altruistic thought, then naturally the result is going to be a good result. You can't have a bad result through good action, through positive action. So therefore, it is important to know why we should practice. So the reason is, through the practice, we can gain great benefit, not only for oneself, but for all the sentient beings. So it is important to know why we have to help others, why we have to benefit others, why we have to look after others' welfare and well-beings. I think there are a few reasons why we have to benefit others. One of the reasons, as I mentioned earlier, we all have the same goal to achieve. We all wish to gain happiness. We all wish to remove suffering. So in order to accomplish this common goal, we should put effort. We should not put effort just to gain happiness for ourselves alone. We should put effort to achieve this common goal. It is not right to ignore others' welfare and just emphasize on one's own welfare and well-being alone. It is not right. So we must put effort to all the sentient beings to gain happiness, to remove sufferings. So because of this common goal, we need to benefit others. So this is one of the reasons. And second reason, in the teaching, it clearly says all of our own happiness is caused by wishing others to be happy. And all the sufferings that we experience are caused by wishing oneself to be happy. So it means altruistic thought is a cause of happiness. Selfish thought is a cause of one's own sufferings. So because of that also, we should focus on others and not just to oneself alone. So it is important to know what is the cause of happiness and what is the cause of suffering. As I mentioned earlier, the cause of happiness is wishing others to be happy. And the cause of suffering is wishing oneself alone to be happy. So because of that also, we need to help others. We need to benefit others. And what kind of happiness that we need to achieve? What kind of happiness that we need to accomplish? Then the answer is, when we say happiness, we are talking about the ultimate happiness, the happiness that is in the state of Buddhahood. That happiness is superior, much superior than our mundane happiness. So when we focus on ultimate happiness, when we try to achieve the ultimate happiness, then naturally we will have the mundane happiness. On the process to gain the ultimate happiness, we will achieve the mundane happiness along the way. So first, it is important to know what is the difference between the mundane happiness and the ultimate happiness. We can say these two have very big difference from the cause point of view, from the nature point of view, and also from the duration point of view. First, from the cause point of view, mundane happiness, like having a good house, having a good facilities, having a big name, or gaining fame, or gaining wealth, or gaining power, etc. But most of the time, when we gain these powers and fames, etc., we are doing negative actions. Because of this negative action, when we become a powerful person in the nation or in this world. So it means these are caused by our negative thoughts, our negative actions. So, and then also, like, when we have mundane happiness, most of these mundane happiness are caused by a negative action, like deceiving others and doing other negative actions. Through that, then we gain our mundane suffering or mundane happiness. So, therefore, the cause of mundane happiness is negative actions. And then the cause of ultimate happiness is always virtuous deeds, especially the uncontaminated virtuous deeds. So from the cause point of view, ultimate happiness is more superior than the mundane happiness. And then from the nature point of view, mundane happiness is actually one kind of suffering. It is known as the suffering of change. For example, if a poor person suddenly got a big lottery and then suddenly moves into a very luxurious house and with all the modern facilities or with all the best conditions, then that person in the beginning will feel joy, will feel happy. But this house and these good conditions are not the real cause of happiness. If it is a real cause of happiness, then the more you stay in that house, the more you should feel happier. But the more you stay, you won't feel happier. After a while, you'll have all kinds of sufferings and all kinds of problems. So the material things are not the real cause of happiness. It won't produce the real happiness. We can say that there are many poor people who are experiencing more happiness than those who are rich person. Many of the rich person has lots of mental sufferings, lots of problems, lots of challenges, lots of pressure, and they don't have time to rest. They have to walk and walk and walk, and they become very busy, and even they can't sleep during the night time because too much work, too much pressure, too much challenges to face. So it means that materialistic world is not the only way or not the way to achieve happiness in our present life. Some poor persons, although they don't have a good house, but their mind is happy. They don't have not much to worry. They are quite happy. So whether you are happy or not doesn't depend on whether you are rich or not. You can see, or we can say, that the most happiest person in this world is not the world's richest person. Or we can say the most happiest person is not the most powerful person in this world. Or the most happiest person is not the world's most famous person. So it means that fame and power and wealth are not the ultimate cause of happiness, not the genuine cause of happiness. So genuine cause of happiness is doing good job, doing good actions. Actually, whether we are happy or not depends on our mind, how we face the problem, how we challenge the problem by our own mind. For example, although there are two different persons facing the same problem, but one can handle the problem in a good way and one cannot handle. So one who cannot handle the problem in a proper way will feel more suffering, will experience more suffering than the other one. Although both of them are facing same challenges, same problems. So it means whether we are feeling sad or not, whether we are experiencing more suffering or not, depends on how we handle. It does not depend on others, it depends on our own mental state. It depends on how we handle, how we challenge the situation. And also, we can say the material development is not the cause of happiness, because in last few decades, or since I was born in 1970s, so since I was born or since last few decades, there has been great material development. But we cannot say that nowadays people are more happier than 2 decades ago or 40 years ago. Although material development has been tremendous, there are many things that we have not seen in the past, now we can see. Now the modern technology has been very advanced. And also there are many other developments that are happening in this world. But at the same time, we cannot say nowadays the people are more happier, people are experiencing lesser suffering. We can't say this. We are facing lots of external problems as well as internal problems. External problems, as we can all see, and internal problems also, like there are many different kinds of sickness, many new diseases that are spreading in this world, which are not there in the past. Although medical facilities have been improved a lot, but at the same time, there are more and more new diseases that are very serious. So there are lots of external and internal problems that we need to challenge in this today's world. So the most important thing for us to do is to improve our inner world, not just the external world. Although through developing the external world, it can make us more comfortable. It can provide us many facilities, but we should use this with the development of our inner world. Our inner world means our mind. We need to develop our mind. So, mundane happiness is actually a function of change. And ultimate happiness is free from all kinds of options. It's a genuine happiness, or it's a perfect happiness. And then, from the duration point of view, ultimate happiness is more superior than the mundane happiness. Because although we all put effort to gain mundane happiness or to gain happiness in this life, but if we think carefully, then this life is very short. This life will not remain forever. There are billions of people in this world, but we have never seen or never heard, or we don't have even a doubt that people who are born will not die. Every being who are born in this world will die sooner or later. We cannot avoid the death. Everybody will face the death sooner or later. So our life is very short. Our life has no certain lifespan. As we all can see, people die at different age. Some die in their mother's womb. Some dies right after they were born. Some dies when they are babies, when they are teenage, when they are in 20s or 30s or 40s, etc. So there's no lifespan, no certain lifespan for us human beings or for animals that we can see in this world. So the happiness of this life is very short. Our maximum age can be over 100 years, not more than that. Actually, there are very few people who can live beyond 100 years old. Most of the sentient beings, most of the human beings in this world will die before they become 100 years old. And within this 100 years old, there is not a single person who has never experienced any suffering, who has only experienced happiness from the birth until that person dies. There's not a single person who has never experienced any suffering in their life. There's not a single person like that. So, for example, if we live up to 100 years old, and if we divide, whether we experience more suffering or more happiness, then we will know that most of the time we are not feeling happy. We don't experience happiness. So, out of 100 years, our happiness can be 30-40%, something like that, which means 30 to 40 years. And about 60 years or more, we experience suffering. We are not happy. Although we can smile, but deep in our mind, we have this problem or that problem. So if you are living up to 100 years, then we only experience about 30 to 40 years of happiness, not more than that. generally speaking. So the mundane happiness, the duration of the mundane happiness is very short. It's only for a few decades or several decades, not more than that. But the ultimate happiness, once we achieve this happiness, we will not change. Once we achieve or gain such ultimate happiness, we won't change. We won't change from happiness to suffering. Once we achieve this ultimate happiness, then we will always feel happiness forever. So this is a big difference between mundane happiness and mundane happiness and the ultimate happiness. So in short, mundane happiness and ultimate happiness has big difference from cause point of view, from nature point of view, and also from the duration point of view. So we should focus on ultimate happiness. And when we focus on the ultimate happiness, then on this process, naturally we will have mundane happiness, or we will feel happy in this mundane world. So it's very important for our mind to handle the situation in a good way. Generally speaking, there are many actions, but if we combine them, we can combine them in three major categories, which are known as the physical action, the verbal action, and the mental action. And out of these three, the main action is the mental action. The physical and the verbal actions are like a supporting role. That they can play in the action. So the main action is the mental action. Without the mind, there is no physical and verbal action. For example, the dead body will not have physical action or verbal action because the dead body has no mind. So all our physical and verbal actions are motivated by our mind. So the mind is more important than physical and verbal actions. Sometimes, even though we act in a good manner, we use pleasant speech, but if our intention is wrong, or if we have a bad intention, or if we have our plan to deceive others through showing good physical behavior and good verbal expressions, then although outwardly it seems that the person is doing good thing, but that person's intention is not right. That person's intention is to deceive other person through showing good physical and verbal action. So this kind of action, although outwardly looks like positive action, but in reality, such action is considered as a negative action because of your negative intention, negative thought that motivates you to commit such behavior and such verbal expressions. So it is very important to have a positive mind, a mind that wish to help others, a mind that wish to benefit others, mind that looks after the other's welfare and well-being. Such mind is really important for us to adopt. So Buddha's teaching is to tame our mind. The purpose of Buddha's teaching is to subdue our mind, to remove our anger, to remove our attachment, to remove our jealousy, to remove our pride, etc. So if we can remove these negative thoughts, then naturally we won't experience suffering. Because all the sufferings are caused by our negative actions. And all our negative actions are motivated by negative thoughts or by defilements such as anger and other negative thoughts. And all these negative thoughts are caused by our ignorance, our selfish thought. Selfish thought is none other than the ignorant. So the main cause of the suffering is selfish thought. When we have selfish thought, then naturally we have two sides, our own side and other's side. And when we have these two sides, then we have attachment towards our own side. We like our own side. And then we hate or we have anger towards the other side. So because of this selfish thought, then we have two sides. Because of this, then we have attachment and anger. So these three are called the main poison or three poisonous thought. And because of these three, then it produces other negative thoughts like pride and stinginess and jealousy, etc. So when we don't like some other person, then when that person becomes good, when that person becomes happy, then we feel jealousy towards them. So first these three, then out of these three, then it produces other negative thoughts. So the selfish thought is the root of all the sufferings of the samsara. So it is very important for us to know what is the cause of suffering and what is the real cause of happiness. For example, when doctor needs to cure the patient's disease, first doctor needs to do diagnose what is the sickness or what is the problem of that patient. Without identifying the sickness, how can doctor can give medicine or how can doctor cure the sickness? It is not possible. First, to cure, doctor needs to identify the sickness or the problems. And after identifying the problems or sickness, then doctor can give treatment, doctor can give the right medicine for the right sickness, for that particular sickness. So similarly, first we need to know the cause of happiness, cause of suffering. So if we know that cause of suffering is selfish thought, the cause of suffering for these negative thoughts, etc., then we should try to abandon or we should try to eliminate these problems. For example, like anger. Anger is something that we can remove from our mind because anger is not our nature of the mind. Our nature of the mind is pure from beginningless time. It never stains with the negative thoughts. For example, when there's a dirt or stain on our cloth, then we can adopt the right remedy or right antidote that can remove these stains or dirt or these dots from our cloth, because these dots or these stains are not the nature of this cloth. These stains are temporal. These stains can be removed through a right remedy such as water and soap, etc. So through these methods, we can remove the stains or the dirt that are on the cloth. Similarly, our anger or our negative thoughts are not the nature of the mind. They are temporal. So because of this, we can remove, we can eliminate these defilements. But to eliminate, we need to put effort. We need to have the right method. We need to adopt the right remedy or right antidote. Without such remedy, we cannot overcome or we cannot eliminate. So it is important to know that we can eliminate, and for that we need to adopt the right remedy. And the right remedy is to practice the positive thoughts, loving kindness and compassion, etc. And when we say we should practice positive thoughts, is that first we need to start from our own family. We need to have a good relationship with our family members, and especially like within the adults, and also the children and parents should have good relationship. Although our parenting job is not easy, it's a very difficult job, but at the same time we should look after and nurture the child with love, with great care. And we should look after the child in a positive way, in a good manner. And to do this, the adults or the parents themselves should has big responsibility to nurture the child or the children, and also in the family it is important to have a good relationship within the family members. And to have a good relationship within the family members, it is important not to have selfish. If one is very selfish, then one wish to do all the things in his or her own way, and we don't want to listen to the others' wish or others' idea. Then it becomes a problem. So it is important not to think that my thinking, my idea is always the right. if you have such strong thought, such strong selfish thought, then it is not easy to control your family members. It is not easy to have a happy life. It will end up in a very difficult situation. So it's important to have respect to others, in not only to your children, but also to your partners. It is important to respect. Sometimes your idea is better. Sometimes your partner's idea is better than yourself. So it is important to respect each other, to have a trust to each other, to have a belief in each other. These are some of the fundamental factors. They are a key role in the family relationship. So I think this is very important to know. I think with this, we will have a break.
Thank you very much, Lingpo Che, for adding one more hour to our 60% of happy time. We'll go for a break now. So please.